name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
And clothed him with a robe of glory.
by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. But Jesus said, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
The epistle is from 1 John, chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Testimony is true.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
God of this Father before all worlds, God.
mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this feast of St. John, from his first letter, the first chapter, the first, second, and fourth verses, as given in the translation of the New English Bible. It was there from the beginning. We have heard it. We have seen it with our own eyes. We looked upon it and felt it with our hands. And it is of this we tell. Our theme is the word of life. This life was made visible. We have seen it and bear our testimony. We here declare to you the eternal life which dwelt with the Father and was made visible to us. And we write this that the joy of all of us may be complete. From ancient times, the Church has kept this third day of Christmas as the feast of St. John, the apostle and evangelist, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Nobody knows for sure why the Church chose this day, but it's certainly a very appropriate time to remember St. John. For it is St. John, more than any other of the holy writers, who most wonderfully and compellingly bears witness to the great mystery of the Incarnation, of God in the flesh and blood, the very humanity that is yours and mine. Now we know that all of Holy Scripture bears witness to Christ. Holy Scripture is that book in which the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Son of God made man. That's what Holy Scripture is. And we remember those memorable words of Dr. Luther: Holy Scripture is the manger where Christ is found. Lowly are the manger and the swaddling clothes, but precious beyond measure is the treasure they both alike contain, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, it's admittedly not always easy to see in the Bible how this is so, but it is so. Scripture, the manger where Christ can be found. Not long before the year 1900, a learned and devout pastor had this to say of Holy Scripture. Like God, clouds of darkness encircle it. It begins with the mystery of creation and ends with the mystery of glory. The law and the gospel lie in between, and through the glory mists of the two mighty mysteries of creation and glory, and the histories of the two covenants, both old and new, the light of revelation shines forth, focused in one person who pervades it all, who explains it all, who is the light of it all, the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, Holy Scripture, all of it, bears witness to Christ. Yet, surely it is the four Gospels which are so precious to every Christian heart, because it is in these books that we learn of the life and works, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior. As that old hymn says of the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in one harmonious witness, the chosen four combine, while each his own commission fulfills in every line. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor asked him, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" You might say that St. Matthew, St. Luke, and St. John, each in his own way, provides an answer to Pilate's question by what they have to say at the beginning of their respective gospels. But while St. Matthew and St. Luke tell the story of the beginning of Jesus' life in this world, it is in fact St. John who looks back into the depths of eternity, the unfathomable mystery of God before the world was made. He speaks, insofar as human language can, of the eternal God who created all things out of nothing through his eternal Son. As we say of Christ in the Creed, by him all things were made, or more literally, through him all things were made. The poet Edward Caswall expresses this wonderfully in that simple yet lovely carol we just sang. Remember these words. See, within the manger lies he who built the starry skies. See, within the manger lies he who built the starry skies. All of this is revealed in that marvelous prologue of St. John's Gospel. I must say that one of my cherished possessions is a beautiful illuminated manuscript of St. John's prologue, which was made for me by an old and dear friend about 12 years ago. It hangs in my study here at church. And if you've never seen it yet, you might want to take a look. It's interesting to note that from ancient times, the church has, in the night of Christmas, always read St. Luke's familiar Christmas story of the Holy Family, the angels, and the shepherds. But on Christmas morning, the church has always read the prologue to St. John's Gospel, as we indeed heard it read again this past Christmas morning. A familiar text, but one whose depths and mystery can never be fully comprehended. John begins this prologue to his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John looks back into timeless eternity, before all the ages. But then in concluding his prologue, he writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Nor is it only in his gospel that John bears witness to the mystery of the incarnation. He also begins the first of his three letters found in scripture with this mystery. Now, as you probably know, I'm not much for all kinds of new translations of Holy Scripture. But at the beginning of this sermon, I did read the opening words of John's first letter according to the so-called New English Bible, because I think that that translation tends to make John's words so very clear. So listen again to St. John when he writes, speaking of the eternal Son and Word of the Father, John writes, "It was there from the beginning. We have heard it. We have seen it with our own eyes. We looked upon it and felt it with our hands. And it is of this we tell. Our theme is the word of life. This life was made visible. We have seen it and bear our testimony. We here declare to you the eternal life which dwelt with the Father and was made visible to us. And we write this, that the joy of us all may be complete." And so we sing at Christmas, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Although all of Holy Scripture bears witness to the Word made flesh, it's surely St. John who most clearly unfolds for us this great mystery of the Incarnation. So who was St. John? With the other 11 apostles, John was an eyewitness of Jesus. He was among the first called disciples of Jesus. Like Peter and his brother Andrew, and like John's own brother James, John was a fisherman. And he was apparently, when called by Jesus, not a very even-tempered person, and that's putting it mildly. The Lord Jesus himself gave to John and his brother James a nickname, Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. St. Luke tells us that after a Samaritan village had rejected the Lord and his 12 apostles, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven on that village. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, John, like all the other disciples, forsook him and fled. St. John, too, was a sinner in need of pardon. John knew that, and how eloquently he speaks of that in his first letter, as we heard it read this morning. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins." And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And yet there is more to be said, because St. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. John lay close to him at the Last Supper. And although he had forsaken Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he somehow summoned enough courage to follow him to Golgotha. And it was there from the cross that the Savior entrusted his dear mother to the care of John as if he were her son. And we are told that from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And very early and reliable tradition tells us that it was, in fact, in John's home in Ephesus that the mother of the Lord closed her eyes in death. Nor can we forget that it was John, exiled for a time on the island of Patmos, that the risen Lord gave his revelation, a book to be sure deeply mysterious, but one whose theme is unmistakable: the triumph of Jesus, the conquering Word of God made flesh, the suffering yet triumphant Lamb of God, triumphant over all the powers of darkness that would oppose him. And so on this third day of Christmas, we keep in remembrance the life and work of St. John, the apostle and evangelist, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the great witness to the incarnation, which at this blessed Christmas time we hold in loving remembrance and adoration, as we sing in that most familiar carol, "Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Our prayers this morning are especially asked for Yolanda Ford, Frank Ford's daughter, who has been hospitalized. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that in the fullness of time you did send your only and eternal Son to take our nature upon him, and does it this time to be born of a pure virgin. And we pray that we who in holy baptism have been born again of water and the Spirit, and thereby made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed after the image of your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for the message of the angels, and we pray that your church may carry the glad tidings of salvation into all the world. Bless every ministry and service in your church, that light may shine on all who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy, let your light shine upon all the nations and send peace and concord to all who dwell on the earth. Let your blessing rest upon our president and all who are in authority, and enable them to discharge the duties of their office with wisdom and understanding. Lord, in your mercy, let the light of this holy season rest upon all our homes and fill them with holy joy. Remember the sick, especially Yolanda, and the poor, the lonely and the sad, and all who are in any trouble, especially all those for whom our prayers are desired, and all persecuted Christians. Lord, in your mercy, we also remember before you all those who rejoice with us, but on another shore and in a greater light, that great multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in your Son, the Word made flesh, and with whom in him we forevermore are one. Lord, in your mercy. Grant these our prayers, gracious Father, for the sake of him who is both the child of Mary and your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And now let us join in singing hymn 376. 376.